Welcome to Opera Out of the Box, unpacking opera piece by piece. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell, and I'm joined in the studio by James Norman, who is the newly minted general director of Toledo Opera. We're also joined by second-year resident artists Sarah Mortensen, who is a soprano, Amara Miles, who is a mezzo, and Stephen Naylor, who is their pianist. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's start talking about the Resident Artist Program. And you guys do a lot of stuff. You sing a lot of outreach events, community events. Maybe you can put it in a nutshell for us, Jim?
Sure. We have several signature education programs. One is Opera on Wheels, where these talented artists come in and they go out to share opera with elementary schools, K through 6, throughout the fall and spring. We probably see 60 schools and about 20,000 students in that amount of time. So this year we've been doing Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf, which is based on Don Giovanni, but it's scripted for children and it's a message of anti-bullying. And then we have Opera Outdoors, which we go to at this time the Metro Park at Wildwood and do a 45 minute to an hour concert free for the community, which is fun, and it gets them to learn some new rep and be able to
get the kids outside,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. We can go outside for recess. So those are the big programs for the resident artists, and they're with us, you know, September through May-ish. And we love having them with us. And these guys have been with us for 2 years, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Now, Sarah and Amara, you've both been on main stage as well, right?
Yes.
While you've been here. So it's a great experience for you, I assume. You want to tell us a little bit of your story? Let's get to know you a little better. And the way that I did this is, you know, a certain soprano who is an intern here. Her name is Carolyn Anderson. And she chose music to go with each of your stories, right? And the way she did this was she came up with one word that described you three in a nutshell, because she knows you all.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
And so the way that I'm doing this is I'm going to give you each three words, and you tell me which one she chose, all right? So we're going to start with Carolyn, okay? Sorry, we're going to start with Sarah. And your three words, Sarah, are dark, bright, and blazing. Which one of those did she choose for you?
Ooh, I would say bright for me.
Bright?
Maybe. Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah. Okay, Amara, your three words are warm, hot, or cold.
Well, hot certainly does apply. I'm going to say it's warm.
Yep, it's warm.
Gratata.
Indeed. Stephen, your last one here. Your three words are judgmental, evocative, or inspiring.
Oh, man. I got to play with Carolyn for like 2 years, and she would probably say inspiring.
I would hope so.
I would say judgmental.
You all got them correct, so now you know where the music comes from. This is Sarah's music. Let me get that going. Here we go. This is bright music, supposedly bright. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Sarah. When did you become an opera singer? When did you decide that you wanted to pursue opera?
Yeah, so I've always loved singing my whole life. I would sing along to, you know, Disney movies and things. I was also in choirs in middle school. I really enjoyed that. And I started taking voice lessons when I was 14 years old. And I went in loving musical theater and that sort of thing. And my teacher heard me sing, and she said, "Hey, you ever sung in Italian before?" And I said, "Oh, I didn't even know that was an option." Sure, let's take a look. Let's see how that goes. And I really, really liked it. And I would sing in choir in high school, and I would do a couple little competitions and things.
Do you remember what the first Italian aria you did?
Oh, when was it? It wasn't Caro Mio Ben.
Thank goodness.
I think it was Sei Tu Mami. Yeah. And I kept doing that, and I realized that I really, really liked it. So when it came time to, you know, apply for colleges, I was like, oh, okay, great.
Sorry, I wasn't laughing at you, sir. I was laughing at Amara.
Amara's dancing to my bright music.
This music slaps. Yeah. Thanks, Carolyn.
Wait till we get to Amara's music. I think this is kind of, you know, I think of you as a Disney princess sort of come to life, right? I think this music definitely fits that mold.
She's on her way to the, you know, the bakery. Yes.
She is a Disney princess. Like we kind of joke that she's like Snow White a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the perfect haircut. I wish y'all could see her in person. She's
Well, just imagine Snow White with glasses.
That's
and
right.
You're yeah. halfway there yeah. already. All right. Well, this music is wrapping up. All right. So let's move over to Amara. And we'll hear your song. Now, what was your word again?
Warm.
Vom.
See if this music sounds warm to you. Once again,
I feel like
you're
I'm
dancing.
In Sims build mode. Wow.
And you're snapping fingers and getting into it. Okay, why don't you answer the same question? When did you become an opera singer? Want to become an opera singer?
So I have been a singer since I was about 5 years old. My mother wanted to be an actress, and we were very big into musical theater and musicals in my home. Shout out Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. I'm still sad that I'm not Jane Powell now that I'm an adult. But around 13 or 14, thank you. Around 13 or 14 years old, my mother passed away, and I was a cellist for a number of years before that, but I kind of threw myself into music a bit more. Thank you so much to my council, my living three aunts, and my grandmother for allowing me to not have any other talents other than music. JK. But yeah, after my mother passed, I heard opera, and I think it was Kathleen Battles, Una Voce Poco Fa, so excited that she just made another return to the Met. And I had a teacher at the time who said, honey, if you want to be an opera singer, you have to know the great black singers. You have to know Kathleen Battle, Leontine, Jesse Norman, all of them. So I took that time when I was younger to kind of study up, and I've just been enamored ever since. I still do a little bit of musical theater. I'm grateful we get to do it together, my colleagues. But I'm just blessed that I get to sing almost every day. I go to sleep and I think, wow, I really do have one of the greatest jobs in the world.
That's great.
Yeah.
Such an amazing story. And you've got a little time left on your music if you want to
if I want to say anything
else. If you
want
to keep going.
Amara, did you ever check out Martina Arroyo?
Oh, yes, I did.
She was here several times with the company, and she was just lovely.
I adore her. Yeah. I really do. I'm trying to think who's a singer.
I have some good Jesse Norman stories from the back in the day, but she's passed, so I won't say anything bad about her.
I mean, it's not bad if it's true. I'm sure she was fantastic every way.
Yeah. All right. Well, look
we'll
at the time.
Yeah, we will.
Look at the time. The music is about to run out.
I love you, Jesse. Rest in peace.
Well. Yes. R.I.P. Okay, here we go. All right, Stephen has been sitting there quietly thinking about his magnificent breakfast that he had this morning. And we heard about that when we were doing the sound checks. Okay, let me pull up your music, Stephen. What was your word, judgmental?
No, it was inspirational, I should hope.
Inspirational,
yeah.
Okay. All right, let me find that. Oh, this is the disco song that we decided.
No way.
Love it.
It's so good.
It checks.
Yeah, everybody except for you is like dancing and moving to the music. Stephen, you know, obviously you can't talk about being a singer, but you can talk about being a pianist and your attraction to playing for singers and collaborating with singers. I wonder if you can tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well, I think one of
And feel free to get funky, okay?
Oh, absolutely. I know. I think one of the secrets is that it takes a singer to properly accompany a singer. And so I have had the pleasure of singing in choirs in school since I was in middle school and through high school. I had a very strong-willed choir director who, through Vaughn Williams and Benjamin Britten's Rejoice in the Lamb at us, and Eric Whitaker, and I was 14, 15 looking at this stuff and just absorbing it, and I was also finding Mahler at home in my bedroom at the time, and just like crazy vocal music.
There's quite a difference between Whitaker and Mahler, I have to say.
There is, but they're both revelatory.
Yeah, in their own way, yeah.
Absolutely. But so, this was
part of my like discovery that I was making all the while taking piano lessons and making my way through Beethoven and Mozart and Chopin and Rachmaninoff and finding Ravel, who is one of the main composers who has stuck with me to this day in terms of making me be a better pianist and composer, which is another thing that I
get
to do.
That'd be a great title for your biography, Finding Ravel. Right?
There we go. Michael Keane, who used to teach composition at BGSU, once called my
composition... Oh, your music's done. Sorry.
There we go.
No, go ahead and finish your thought. Michael Keane.
He called my work post-Ravelian, which is a compliment of the highest order. Wow. But yeah, so I was singing all the while. I was learning piano, and so I got to
I feel like I can learn how the voice works. I can start... Here, I have some... I have a backup music here. You can use this instead.
Oh, amazing. I appreciate it.
Okay. Now it's a chill-out song, right?
There we go. Yeah. Where was I with that? It takes a singer to accompany a singer, and so getting to sing a bunch of amazing vocal music and getting my first like solo vocalist collaborative experiences also in high school, then when I got to college, I just got to do more and on a higher level, and it's been a joy.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Brad, that Stephen is one of those pianists that is wonderful to watch because he's so into it with the singers that he's watching them and seeing how they breathe, and it's just a treat to not only watch them, but to watch him at the piano, which you don't always get. Sometimes, you know, the pianist is so into the music that they have no idea that there's a singer on stage. But he is not that. And you have an exciting announcement that's happening in the future that I wish you would tell us.
Oh, for sure. Are you talking about the fall?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. This upcoming fall, I am going to be going back to school to get a master's in composition at the Jacobs School of Music, and I'll also be an associate instructor in the music theory department.
With a full ride.
Go Hazers!
Imara, the other Jacobs alum, is super happy about this.
Yeah.
I feel like a proud mom.
Proud mom moment.
Oh my God.
The Jacobs School at Indiana University. That's for right. People who don't necessarily know. I actually knew that because Carolyn told me different facts about you guys, and that was one of the things she said about you, Stephen.
The research department here is amazing.
Top notch.
It's top
gossip
notch.
Department.
Top notch. Speaking of, let's do a quiz, okay?
Oh boy!
Oh,
now I've got the advantage of Jim is here, so he'll probably get most of these because it's an old school opera nickname, things you need to know quiz. As young singers, you know, some young singers are totally into like the past and the great singers of the past. That's what this quiz is, more or less, about the great singers of the past. Okay, so there is no right, there's no wrong. There, you know, failure is an option. It's okay if you know the answer, and it's multiple choice, so it's a little bit easier.
Even better.
Yeah. So
can we phone a friend?
And
Rachel, kick Google open now.
You guess, and I'll tell you if you're correct or not. So. Okay, and this is easy to start with. Who was the king of the high seas? Was it A, Giuseppe Di Stefano? Was it B, Beniamino Gigli? Or was it C, Luciano Pavarotti? Which one?
Let's see.
Okay, now, you know that making the sign for C does not translate well on the radio podcast, right? So just say C.
C.
I think we're all going with Pavarotti.
Yes.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. Who was known as the Divine One? Was it A, Maria Callas, B, Marilyn Horn, or C, Franco Corelli?
La Divina.
La Maria Divina. Callas. Maria Callas. That's correct. See, these are easy, right?
So far.
For now.
Okay, yeah, it gets a little harder now. What composer is also known as the Swan of Catania? Was it Gaetano Donizetti, Vincenzo Bellini, or Giacomo Puccini? Obviously an Italian. Was known as the Swan of Catania. Any guesses?
I'm going to go with B just because. You know?
Yeah, well, be correct.
There we go.
For that goes
the height
to
Imara. Canto, right? Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. Okay, what was the nickname of soprano Jenny Lind? Don't answer this, Jim. I'm sure you know. Was it A, the Swedish Nightingale, B, the Angelic Voice, or C, the Queen of the Stage?
A.
It was A, the Swedish Nightingale. That A. is correct. Yeah. The Queen of the Stage is something else, right? Okay. Who was the Enchantress of Nations? Was it Pauline Viardot? Was it Maria Malibran? Or was it Juditha Pasta, the Enchantress of Nations? Who would that
Viardot be? Is the name I know best out of.
Yeah, well.
Good for you.
You get that one.
Come on, see, that's Viardot. Why you got a full ride.
Viardot and Maria Malibran were sisters, of course. They were from the Garcia family. Their father wrote, you know, the go-to manual for singing back in the day. But which of these singers, this is an extra credit question, so this is your last question for this part of the quiz. Which of those singers died from a fall from her horse at the age of 28? Was it Pauline Viardot, Maria Malibran, or Juditha Pasta? Which of those three, A, B, or C?
B or C?
I'm leaning towards B.
B?
I'm leaning towards C.
Okay, well, the answer is B.
A.
There we go.
Yeah, Maria Malibran. Who, her sister, Pauline Viardot, you said that, you know, that was the name that you recognized. That's because she lived till she was almost 90, right? She outlived her sister by quite a few.
Massive output as well.
Quite a few years. So the winner is... I wasn't keeping track. Did anybody keep track? Okay.
No,
you all
wait.
Are winners.
We're pretty consistent.
It's too early to count.
Yeah. We'll come back to that quiz in a moment. But let's talk again about the Resident Artist Program. Can you each name like a favorite moment or something that you really enjoyed doing in the while you were a resident artist here at Toledo Opera?
I mean, I think for me, it's not specifically a moment, but an experience. I adored being able to sing Clorinda in Cenerentola this past fall. I thought that I've never sung any Rossini music before that, and I have since fallen in love with his entire discography. Close enough. His catalog.
Yeah. I saw something on I think it was Apple Music, where it said sung by Rossini. Yeah, that was interesting.
Didn't know he could sing.
Just another reason to listen to the radio, because, you know, we actually have live people there. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh,
go
no,
ahead.
You're fine, you're
go
fine.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the character. I loved my costume. It was great. I got to hang out with Amara. It was so fun being sisters. Yeah, and it was just such a fun opera. Everybody there was great to work with. It was such a fun cast, such a fun
what
time.
What other opera can you do a pillow fight in?
I mean, know, really. That's so true. Yeah.
Well, you can do a pillow fight in any opera, right?
Sometimes not appropriate.
So, Amara, what is the favorite moment for you?
It's hard to pinpoint a specific moment, but I will say during shows, when we get time to kind of hang out afterwards, just building connections with our other castmates. Like a couple weeks ago when we were doing Ragtime, a lot of us went to, what was it, Poco Loco together? Mm-hmm. It's a restaurant in town. And it sounds so small, but just the chance to really get to know the people you're working with has been a delight. I find that in these rehearsal processes, it goes so fast and you're usually working so much that you don't get the time to connect with the people around you. And, you know, we still create a great product on stage, but you can tell the difference between like when we know each other for a long time versus when we're kind of just, well, I guess we're going to fake kiss now. Yeah. So I would have to say all the camaraderie behind the scenes. I hope I said that word right.
That's a great answer. I love that. Stephen, we know that you're going to Indiana University, so you're ahead maybe, you know, in the future right now, but can you talk about the past a little bit, your work with the resident artists and what you've enjoyed so much about that?
Oh my gosh. The biggest thing that has been a part of my work is just learning all of the repertoire that all of my other colleagues have been doing, which is a big part of being a collaborative pianist. Is like I'm at the stage in the point of that career path where I'm in the first 10, 15 years where you're just learning the repertoire, and it's a super busy, exciting period of that line of work. And you know, that amount of time down the line, I'll have like touched in like at least one thing by every composer that's written for the stage, and I'll have amassed all of this experience, and getting to have so many early formative experiences with some of the greatest hits of that repertoire, and also
the hidden gems of the repertoire to, which all of my colleagues have been able to introduce me to both sides of that equation. Again, coming from a solo piano background, which is what I studied in school, I'm still digging into all of the opera repertoire, and I'm still watching all of these shows and adding productions to my list of stuff that I need to watch. And learning that part has been so fun, and they're always constantly making me improve as a musician too.
Which is hard because he's already so good. I wish I was just joking, but this man is phenomenal.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Every genre.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you sang in a chorus also, you've composed, mm-hmm. you've done a lot of different work as a pianist. And so, going to Indiana University, are you interested in making this your life and continuing to play for other singers?
Oh, yeah. I think whatever the future holds for me in terms of a career, I know that it will involve the human voice in yeah. some capacity.
Yeah. What do you think, Amara and Sarah, about you getting experience and you working with the Resident Artist Program? How does that set you up for the future?
Yeah, I know that for me, I have 2 points on this. The school shows
I
that
have
we get
some
to
music
do,
for you
oh,
if you
perfect.
Want.
Perfect.
Okay. We'll bring back.
So snazzy.
Okay, let's hear your story.
Yeah, so I think I've learned so much about myself as a performer doing these school shows. There aren't full-length operas, but because we do them multiple times a day, it's taught me a lot about stamina and knowing myself and my voice and how to keep, you know, concentrating and things, keeping your brain involved and in the story and, like, really in it. And then also I had the privilege to cover Juliet in Romeo and Juliet and to cover Catherine Lewick. And that was an amazing learning experience, just watching her work and watching her work with our director, James, and watching the work. There was one specific moment where they were staging the Juliet's Poison Aria. And
this music in the background is kind yes. of distracting.
Not quite the same vibes.
let me turn that off.
Yeah, but James was like, okay, what does it look like? What does it feel like? How do you as an actor, like how does Juliet as a character react to this object being in her hands? And I was like, that was such a like a life-changing, like, oh my gosh, I need to be looking at every moment on stage like this with this much detail and this much intention. It was amazing.
Yeah. I've always thought that singing was kind of like dancing in slow motion sometimes. You know, there's an intent to everything. Amara, what has the resident program here at Toledo Opera meant to you? How has it prepared you for the future?
Kind of adding on to what Sarah said about
I have
show.
Some music for you, but I'm going to let it go music. This time.
What Sarah was saying, I'm going to add on to that. When I was in summer camp a number of years ago, I remember I had this teacher who said, practice doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent. Mm. And I think about that every time we do the children's shows or we just do the shows on stage where it's kind of like you have to think on your feet. You have to be ready for whatever's going to happen. It's kind of like life, you know, you can practice and rehearse as much as you want. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, somebody dropped their handkerchief and you have to go off of that. Or, you know, things happen. We miss an entrance. We forget a line. And I've really enjoyed that at Toledo. I've had great scene partners, great fellow musicians, and great people behind the scenes to kind of help facilitate that. I was thinking about while I was in school, while it was a great time and I loved building connections, shout out to IU and York College of Pennsylvania. But being at Toledo is kind of like that boots on the ground. You have to do it. And yeah. a majority of us in this day and age either did the beginning of our work or the end of our schooling during the pandemic. So a lot of it is theory-based. What would you do here? But at Toledo, in person, you just got to do it. So that's something I've really appreciated is yeah. there's no thinking. Sometimes you just have to do.
That's great.
And trust yourself enough to know that you've built that technique, that you've built those connections where you can just do that.
Yeah.
And I think one of the strongest that Kevin and I try to get for our resident artists that, you know, this program has been going on for decades, is that connection with professionals in in the business, because these are young artists that are on their way up, all of them. And we hope that they're then going to succeed to the next level and get an agent and have a great career. And if we don't give them those opportunities to work with a Catherine Lewick, to work with a, you know, an Adam Turner as a conductor, or the great stage directors that we bring in, we're not doing our job. And, yeah, you know, that's one reason when I started with Toledo Opera in the chorus and doing Compromari roles back in the 80s, that's the only reason I stayed with it, is because I really loved watching, especially the directors, work. Is this one a good one with chorus, or are they really delving into the characters? You know, you see their different strengths, and you learn by that, and then you can put that into your own career.
Yeah. I want to talk more about what makes a career and what makes a successful career in a minute, but first I want to get back to the quiz, right? We have five more questions here. It's the same thing. It's more nicknames. These are important things to know as you embark on your career.
This is like my history entrance exam I'm about to take in the fall.
I feel that, just letting you know. It's hard.
And I have some music to go with this. Let me pull this up. Okay. This will kind of inspire us a little bit. All right. They're
feeling
all chair
so
dancing
inspired,
now.
Brad.
Yes. Okay. Who was the Little Sparrow? That was their nickname. The Little Sparrow. Was it Charles Aznavour? Welcome to my world. Or was it Jacques Brel? Or was it Edith Piaf? The Little Sparrow was C, Piaf.
I'm going to go with P. Yeah.
Piaf. She was like 4 feet tall. I mean, she was tiny. Yeah. That's why they called her that. Okay, what was the nickname of tenor Franco Corelli? Was it Golden Calves, Golden Thighs, or Prince of Tenors? A, B, C, or all of the above, or none of the above?
Oh, we're going to throw that in.
Now I have to look up a picture of his calves.
Is it all C? No, I'm going to go with calves, yeah.
Well, that's one of them, yeah, Golden Calves. Sometimes they said Golden Thighs, and they always called him the Prince of Tenors, so... Option would be D, all of the above.
Wow.
There we go.
But we'll give that to you.
What's his workout routine?
Well, he's dead now.
Yes. So
not much of a workout routine. What is the nickname of American soprano Renee Fleming? Her professional nickname, not any other nickname. Is it the Silver Soprano, the Belle of the Ball, or the People's Diva? A, B, or C?
I'm going to go with C.
C, People's Diva.
Yep. Yeah. The People's Diva.
When she did the national anthem, she was like one of the first few people to actually do it operatically.
Yeah.
And people lived for that.
With the gown.
Beautiful gowns.
That's
beautiful
a gowns. Whole different podcast right there, talking about the many interpretations of the national anthem.
Oh.
Wait, let me ask this real quick. Three or four?
Three or four what?
Do you do the national anthem in three or in four?
I've never thought about that.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early
light? Well, some people do three. A lot of singers do four. Wow. Oh, say, can you see?
I see, yeah. So I do three, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we lost our music. Let me bring
back. Sorry, music.
That's okay. Because the quiz is ongoing. Okay, who was known as the man with the orchid-lined voice? Was it Enrico Caruso? Was it Jan Pierce? Or was it Paul Robeson? A, B, or C?
Orchid-lined?
Orchid-lined
voice.
Is
that a good thing? I'm going to say B.
It was at the time, yeah. What do you say?
I say B.
You're all jumping on the Jim Norman bandwagon.
I'll say A, just because.
You're going to say A. You are correct. Yes. It was A, Enrico Caruso. You know, that's how I got started in singing or being interested in opera. You've all told your stories. My story is that I had a teacher in high school that was into Caruso and would play recordings of Caruso for us. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that's great. And I went down to the library. I started listening to recordings of tenors. I was really attracted to the tenor voice. And I heard people like Pavarotti and Domingo and whatever, and I thought, wow, how come these guys aren't famous like, you know, Caruso? So, it was an education for me. But many years later, I got to sing Canio on the same stage as Caruso. They hadn't changed the wood in almost a century. And that was at Buenos Aires in the Teatro Colón. And it was such a complete circle for me. It was a great experience. But enough about me. Let's get back to the quiz.
Mazel, though.
whose voice was described by the diva Geraldine Farrar as melodious thunder. Mm. Who did she describe as melodious thunder? Obviously, it was somebody that she sang with, so would it be Enrico Caruso, Fyodor Shalyapin, or Giovanni Martinelli? Which one of those had a voice that was melodious thunder, according to her?
B or C?
Yeah, I'm leaning
towards go with C.
Yeah.
The answer is B. The answer is B, which is Shalyapin.
Wrong answer.
Yeah.
I feel like a disappointment.
Listen, one wrong out of 12 questions is not bad. So
true.
Yeah, that's better than the average. Now, finally, we have an extra credit question. Mm-hmm. Which of the following is true of soprano Geraldine Farrar? A, she starred in a silent film adaptation of Bizet's Carmen. B, the young women who followed her around were known as Jerry Flappers. C, she was the lover of conductor Arturo Toscanini. Or again, D, all of the above. E, none of the above.
Oh, boy.
D.
I think it's D.
Yeah, D, all of the above. Wow. All of
Geraldine
those are
got
true.
Around.
What were her groupies' names again?
Yeah, they were Flappers. Jerry Flappers.
Jerry Flappers.
That's I'm going to get that tattooed on me.
Here we go. Okay.
Jerry Flapper, yeah. I mean, that was back in the day when opera singers were great celebrities. You know,
absolutely.
Everything they did was front page news.
They had groupies.
And yeah, the groupies, the what clack. We call groupies today, were the Jerry Flappers of the 1920s or whatever it was.
If I found out my great-grandmother was a Jerry Flapper, I have words. I have words.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about what you guys plan to do in the future and how you make a career. And I want to hear Jim's advice on this as well. But where do you go? We know where Stephen is going from here, right? He's mm-hmm. told us he's going to Indiana University.
Bravo.
He's going to continue working there. What about you, Sarah? What are your plans for the future?
Yeah, my plans are to audition, and audition. Just
but
try to get out there.
Audition for whom?
Different opera companies. I'd like to continue to apply to other young artist programs and other, you know, symphonies for solo opportunities. And just I would like anybody who wants to and anybody who doesn't to hear me sing. Just get my voice out there.
You have an open platform right now if you want to.
Uh-huh. Hit a D, sis. Hit a D. Not right now, Joey.
Mara, what are your plans after you're finished here?
So immediately following, I'm going up to Alaska for my cousin's graduation. Congratulations, Jonathan G. Miles. I love you. Shout out. Yes. I am doing a concert with the Grant Park Chorus in Chicago this summer, but much like Sarah, I'm going to be doing a lot of auditions. A lot of this career, I'm sure everyone in this room knows, but a lot of this career is doing those auditions. I plan on going for, you know, the Lyric, WNO, Seattle, Houston, any place that's available, shoot, Florentine. And yeah, it's just very important to put ourselves out there. I was getting stressed with myself this past year about, why didn't I do these auditions? Why don't I have anything coming up? And it's like, sis, give yourself a break. Sometimes you can't fit, you know, every audition in when you have consistent work. Mm-hmm. Or in my case, you have to take a sabbatical off for health. So this year is the year that we are boots on the ground, running everywhere and saying, I know you're going to hire me, so you might as well do it now.
There you go. Well, it's a great attitude to have. And you know, to shop around and find, you know, positions and jobs that you can do, right? It's great to go into an audition with that attitude. I was always a horrible auditioner. I always got, you know, very nervous and very scared every time I had to audition. So I was a lousy auditioner, but I was much better when they actually hired me.
Same.
For some reason, yeah.
It's something about just singing for your life with no prompt that kind of gives you a little bit of nerves. But on stage, it's fine. So if you're listening, WNO, Lindemann, all these programs, even though my audition won't be the greatest, I will still be fantastic when you put me on stage. Thank you.
Yeah, you should start every audition just by saying that, right? Disclaimer, right?
Disclaimer. I have nerves.
Excellent. Jim, what advice would you give young singers who want a career?
Well, I think the advice in 2024 is different than I would have done 20 years ago. Social media and the internet has changed, I think, the business for good.
Yeah.
I think, and sorry to all those management companies out there, but I think that artists don't have to have representation to make a career if they have that attitude of boots on the ground and get it. I think that's really important for singers. If, you know, yeah, you can sign up with an agency and okay, that agent's going to, you know, be out there, but they also have a roster of other singers. So what differentiates you? It's not going to be that agent. It's going to be you. So I think it's really important for singers to get out there on social media, to share their talent so that people can see it. And, you know, with the internet the way it is, you never know when you're going to go viral and WNO goes, we have to have her. So I think that's what I would say is you have to be present in yourself and proud of yourself and put yourself out there and, you know, really don't turn down too many things because you never know what that will lead to, who you'll work with. Because, you know, I don't care if it's on the Broadway stage or the Met or Houston Grand Opera. When you work with a company, they'll go, hey, we worked with Amara Beck. I think she'd be great for this. Mm-hmm. It happens every day. And it's not, oh, let me go through this agent's roster. It's, we worked with her. We loved her. She was better on stage than she was on our audition. But boy, did she deliver. Let's get her.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I would say to young singers and performers of all, that just get out there and sell yourself, because if you're not going to do it, no one's really going to do the job that you can.
Well, that solves a lot of problems as far as, you know, because my experience, like yours, Jim, as a singer was from a long time ago.
Absolutely.
And it was very different then. And for me, it was all about, you know, the agency getting me jobs and various agents and dealing with intendants and all that sort of thing. And Jim makes a great point that the world has changed, right? I mean, you both have social media profiles, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And Stephen as well.
That's right.
So is there anything else we want to talk about?
Yeah, I just think that the Resident Artist Program at Toledo is, you know, a national program that I think really prepares young singers and pianists for the next level. We do audition nationally. We put the word out. And, you know, as evidenced by the roundtable here, we're from all walks of life and from, you know, all the different states. And we even though we say we're, you know, United States resident, we do get international applicants as well. But yeah, it's a program that I think speaks for itself because we do give them opportunities to work not only on the main stage, but in the schools and in the community, that I think really breaks the fourth wall and gets you into those relationships and friendships that you build when you're with a cast. And that's always, I think, the most important thing.
You guys have anything you want to add to all we've been talking about today?
Since we're talking about social media profiles, I'm going to make sure that we all say our own. Follow me at Imara, I-M-A-R-A, Ashton, A-S-H-T-O-N. Just have to put that out there.
Okay.
What's your social, Sarah? What's your social, Stephen?
You can follow me on Instagram at Sarah Mortensen Soprano. It's S-A-R-A-M-O-R-T-E-N-S-E-N Soprano.
Super similar format on mine. That's Stephen Naylor Music, S-T-E-V-E-N-N-A-Y-L-O-R Music.
Yeah. You have to sing it, though. It makes it sound so much better. There you go.
I'm annoyed he sounds good. Oh, if I may say another thing. Thank you for having us today.
Thank you,
I hope that the Toledo community, that everyone around us, remembers that we're not doing this just for ourselves. We are doing this so we can bring your stories on the stage. We are doing this so we can tell the tales of everyone around us and build a true community. So if you feel like you're being represented on stage, if you're not, tell us, join us, sing with us, yell at us, do anything you can, because we are in this for the long haul and we're all in this together. Shout out Kenny Ortega.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What a great way to end the podcast today. You've been listening to Opera Out of the Box, a co-production of WGTE Public Media and Toledo Opera. You can find previous episodes online at our website, WGTE.org, and of course you can dive into all things Toledo Opera at their website, ToledoOpera.org. I want to thank my guests today, James Norman, Sarah Mortensen, Imara Miles, and Stephen Naylor. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell. Thanks for joining us on Opera Out of the Box.